reminding us that there is plenty of grace that abounds with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's a powerful song for us to meditate on in the midst of busy life, busy school. The academics are piling on, and maybe there are some of you who really needed to hear that He will not leave you alone. I was talking to Justin right before he came up to sing, just before chapel, and he said the first time that song ministered to him was in a very dark time in his life of loneliness and pain and testing. And I hope that that song will be an encouragement to you today, that He is not leaving you alone. And if you run away from Him, that's a wrong decision. You need to run to Him, run to Christ, trust in Him and His love alone. Well, it's great to see you this morning. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. As you notice, I am supporting the Sabercats today. And I've got the brightest blue coat I have in my closet. And I've got the brightest yellow tie on. And I hope you'll come out and cheer for the Sabercats today. The soccer team is playing today. And they're playing, I believe, at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And I know that the volleyball team will be playing down at Faith Baptist Bible College, I believe, in the regional tournament. And our girls soccer team, believe it or not, they're already in the championship. Can you believe that? And they're not playing until Saturday, I believe. And I hope if you have the opportunity to come out and support our teams, we need to have good school spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I hope that you will cheer for the Sabercats in these different opportunities that they have. And believe it or not, we have put together a little bit of a pep band, and we're going to be out there on the soccer field today. And so if you want to come just to hear the pep band and watch the guys, that's good too. Okay. Philippians chapter 2, I hope that you have enjoyed the gospel-fueled joy series that we are doing this semester. I have thoroughly enjoyed each of the messages that I have heard so far, and I hope that as we have come up to this point in the book of Philippians, that you are catching really the enthusiasm and the excitement of the Apostle Paul as he is writing this powerful letter to the Philippian church. And so today we are finishing chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And of course, you know that at the beginning of Philippians chapter 2 is one of the most powerful references in all the book, where the apostle encourages us to be very selfless, not selfish. And I think that in this chapter, really, this is the theme, that we would have a life that is lived for others. And the greatest example of that is Jesus Christ Himself. And that's where we see this great passage where not only does Paul exhort us to be selfless, but he gives us the greatest example in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the theme continues all the way to the end of the chapter, because not only do we have a heavenly example of someone who is selfless, the greatest sacrifice was that Jesus left heaven and he gave himself for us. He humbled himself and became a servant. But we also have, as Paul had, human examples of people who are selfless. I've titled the message this morning, Selflessness, the Mark of True Leadership. Selflessness, the Mark of True Leadership. Everyone is a leader because leadership is influence, and everyone is influencing someone. In this text, we actually have three levels of leaders. We have an apostle. We have a disciple of the apostle. And we have a layman, a saved convert in the church of Philippi. And so there are three levels and three layers of different people who are influencing others. And leadership is influence. But without selflessness, you'll never influence anyone. I remember many years ago, it was 1992. I graduated from Tri-City Christian School in Kansas City, Missouri. In my graduation speech, I happened to be the salutatorian that year. And I did give a speech at the graduation. I commended three people who influenced me while I was in high school. And each of them had separate roles and different leadership opportunities in the ministry there at our church. The first person was my youth pastor, Pastor Steve Cruz, who is now a pastor in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And I commended him for his faithful, selfless service to me. He was a man who reached out to me. He built relationship with me. He would spend time with me, not only through preaching publicly, but through private conversation. And he was my youth pastor. He was one of the pastors of our church. The second person I mentioned was my coach, Mr. Lynn Hoisinger. He's now serving down at Faith Baptist School in Lafayette, Indiana. And he was my coach all the way through high school. He coached me in soccer and in basketball. I had another soccer coach later on in my later years of high school. And next to my youth pastor, my coach was a very important influence on my life. But he wasn't a pastor. He was the coach. He was a biology teacher in our school. The third person I mentioned in that speech on that graduation day was a person who's actually sitting in this room today, Dr. Dave Brown. He wasn't Dr. Brown at the time. He was just Bud. That's what we called him. He was our Bud. He's now called Chief. Some of you know that. But Dr. Brown was a huge part of the influence in my life when I was in junior high and high school. He was my choir director. He was my band director. He was my trumpet teacher. And we spent a lot of time together. He had a great influence on my life, but he was not the pastor. He was just serving in the local ministry of our church. He was leading with our choir as well, often in our church. And at one point, he did become kind of like the music pastor of our church. But these were three people. And as I was reading this text and studying this text, I was reminded of that moment at my graduation where I reflected upon people who had great power and influence on my life. And I'll tell you the common characteristic. They were selfless, not selfish. One of the key verses in this text is verse 21. Notice what it says. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. What a sad commentary upon most probably the people that Paul could have sent to Philippi. He's probably not referring to every Christian that he knew. He's probably referring to many of the, maybe of the pastors and teachers and Christians that he was with. We see that some of them in chapter 1 were preaching out of envy and strife. They were doing it for their own good. So we know that he's probably referring to some of these same people. But what a sad commentary that Paul couldn't find hardly anyone who was selfless. They all sought their own. What does it mean to be selfless? It literally means this. It's a quality, it's a value, a virtue of life which causes us to care more about what other people need and want than about what we ourselves want and need. I think for all of us today, this is a very helpful reminder that life should not be about you. Life should not be about me. Life should be about touching the lives of other people. Do you realize not only is this recognized in the Bible and in spiritual ministry today, but it is recognized even in the business world. Listen to what one business management professional said about selflessness. He said, great leaders are selfless. They are servants who facilitate the success of others. They spark action in others by seeing the value of others and aligning that value with a worthy cause. In the presence of great leadership, people feel inspired, not only in the worthiness of the cause that the leader is leading in, but in their own personal worth. This is right from a business management professional who is training business leaders to be selfless and servants. It's no wonder that it is clear in the Bible that those who are great are those who are servants and they're selfless. Great leadership always makes others feel more valued. And I think that that is really what we see in these three profiles of selfless leadership. Here's the theme of the message this morning. Every Christian should seek to be a selfless leader. Every Christian should seek to be a selfless leader. How is that possible? I think in this text we see three profiles of selfless leadership. The first one is the Apostle Paul, the second one is Timothy, and the third one is Epaphroditus. Let's read these verses and then we will study them together this morning, starting in verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord, that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick, that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Three profiles of selfless leadership. First of all, let's notice profile number one, Paul, the trusting servant. Paul, the trusting servant. I want you to notice three characteristics of this selfless leader. He was the apostle. He wrote for us over half of the New Testament. Powerfully, greatly used of God to influence other people, but it is clear in this text, as we could turn to many other texts, that one of the primary characteristics of this great man of God is that he cared about others. He was a selfless, sacrificial leader. We see that in these three ways. First of all, take a look at how he trusted in God. Look at how he trusted in God. Verse 19, I trust in the Lord. This is actually the Greek word for hope. I actually hope in the Lord. Notice verse 24, but I trust in the Lord. A different Greek word. This is the word for confidence in the Lord. One that was used several times even prior in this same book. Confident in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. You can't miss his trust in the sovereignty of God in verse 27. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, recognizing that God had his hand on Epaphroditus and God had his hand on him even in his sickness. So it is absolutely clear that one of the characteristics of a selfless leader, a trusting servant, is that they are resting and depending on the sovereign plan of God for their life. Does that describe you this morning? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are clear verses for us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Question, are you resting in God's sovereign plan for you today? I'm sure there are days that go by where you question, am I in the Lord's will? Am I following God's plan? We need to trust and hope and rest in the sovereign plan of God for our lives. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. This is the mark of a selfless leader, is that they are resting and hoping and trusting and depending on the plan and the will of God for their life. And even as Paul is writing the letter, he's expressing the selflessness of his character. Look at how he trusted God. Secondly, listen to how he talks about others. This is such a powerful lesson for us in leadership, in selfless leadership. Here is the great apostle Paul who is placing himself on the same level with a student of his, a disciple of his, and also a convert in the local church. And he's putting all of them on the same level, and he's recognizing the value and the virtues of these men. One person said it this way: when Paul was writing about other people, he would usually comment about four different things. First of all, their work. He would recognize their work. Secondly, he would esteem or honor them in the specific situation because of their character and because of their consistency. Thirdly, he would usually comment on the relationship that he had with that person. And fourthly, he would lift up their significance. And I think this is a powerful lesson for selfless leadership, that we should recognize the gifts of other people, recognize the value of other people. And it's clear in this text, as Paul is writing, that the value of Timothy was very important to Paul. It was not only important to the Philippians, it was important to Paul. The value of Epaphroditus was important to the church, but it was important to Paul. And this is a great lesson for us. How are we communicating about the people that are in our lives, whether it's people that are over us or whether it's people that are under us in leadership, whether it's people we are influencing directly or indirectly? How do we talk about other people? Question: does the Bible say anything about our words and our language about other people? You know, sad to say, some people become known as critics, gossips, and slanderers instead of people who are building and edifying and lifting up. Proverbs 10 verse 18 says, "He that uttereth slander is a fool." Hey, be careful. If you are a person that is constantly critiquing and complaining and criticizing and gossiping about other people, the Bible says you are foolish. If you utter slander, you are a fool. Psalm 101 verse 5, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off." So we should not speak evil of one another, James 4 verse 11. And yet in Ephesians 4 verse 29, the Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of" what? Edifying. This is the kind of speech that is written down for us in the inspired word of God that Paul the apostle speaks and writes down about two of his friends. And we don't just see it here, we see it in every one of his epistles, how he talks about other people. Look at how he trusts God. Listen to how he talks about other people. And then I think thirdly, in a general sense, we see this spirit and this emotion, this attitude in the spirit of the Apostle Paul as we've read this text. Number three, learn how he treasured the ministry. Learn how he treasured the ministry. This could be seen in so many other places as well as here, but you can't miss the emotion. You see it, you hear it as you read this text, that Paul just longed for the church. He longed to be with Timothy and Epaphroditus. He wanted Epaphroditus to stay there with him, but he knew it was better for the church and better for Epaphroditus to go ahead and send him back. And yet you just sense the love for the ministry, the love to help people, the love to be selfless in his service. What a powerful lesson. What a profile to learn from. Question: do you trust God's sovereign plan for you? Question: how are you talking about other people? Do you have a passion for ministry? Do you love serving other people? This is the spirit that we see in this first profile, the Apostle Paul, the trusting servant. I'm thankful that for most of my life I had powerful example of the Apostle Paul in my life. Most of you know I grew up in a pastor's home. My dad was a selfless servant. I could look at how he trusted God. I could listen to how he talked about other people, and I could see and learn from his love for the ministry. My dad was a pastor for 28 years. There was one year, 2003, where we went through serious calamity in our church. without going into all the details, I was watching as a young preacher how my dad would handle, as the leader, as the pastor of our church, how he would handle those situations, how he would talk about the people that were involved in those situations, and how he would still continue to love and serve with a passion for the Lord. And to this day, those are some of the greatest moments in my spiritual development of learning and listening and looking at a hero of mine, someone who was my leader, someone who was influencing my life. And all I'm saying is, not only can we learn from people like that, but we can be someone like that. Why don't you seek to be that way? A trusting servant. Let's notice profile number two. Profile number two is obviously Timothy. Number two, Timothy, the trusted student. So we have a trusting servant and a trusted student. He had most likely been with Paul at this point of the writing of Philippians for likely 10 years. Paul calls him in many places in the New Testament some incredible terms. My true child in the faith, 1 Timothy 1:2. My beloved son, 2 Timothy 1 verse 2. My beloved and faithful child in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 4:17. My fellow worker, Romans 16, verse 21, our brother, fellow bondservant, Philippians 1, verse 1. There's obviously an incredible love and concern for this trusted student of Paul. We have two books in the New Testament, 1 and 2 Timothy, which evidence to us there was a very tight, close relationship. Paul trusted Timothy, so much so that Timothy was with Paul in Corinth. He was with Paul in Macedonia, or sent to Macedonia by Paul. He was sent back to Corinth. He was sent to Philippi, as we read here. He was involved in the work of Colossae and Thessalonica. Here is a young man that Paul really depended on. He poured his life into him. He trained him. He taught him. And yet Timothy also exhibits for us and exemplifies for us what it means to care about others. Look what it says about him. First of all, he was like-minded. He was like-minded with his leader. Notice verse 20 again. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. This word like-minded is only used here. This is the only occurrence of this word in the New Testament. It's a compound adjective from two words which mean equal and soul. It literally means equal souled or one souled. There was unity. There was like-mindedness as he was serving his leader. Listen, there are many of you that are under leadership. Maybe it's not an apostle for sure. Maybe it's a pastor if it's at your local church. Maybe it's somebody here that you're working under. And of course, for all of us, we're all under authority. How do we view those that are in authority over us? So there's not only a lesson for the leader, the head leader that's a servant, trusting servant, but there's also lessons for us that are under leadership, realizing that even in those times of submission, we're influencing other people. We need to seek unity. We need to seek to be like-minded with the people that are leading in our lives. 1 Peter 3 verse 8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion on one another. 2 Timothy 2 verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. Don't be difficult. Don't cause division. Don't cause disunity. But rather, be gentle unto all men and patient. 2 Timothy 2 verse 24. This is how Timothy was. No wonder Paul wanted to be with him. No wonder they had such a close relationship, because they were like-minded. They were unified. Not only do we see that he was like-minded to his leader or with his leader, but secondly, he was loving to his church. He was loving to the church. Verse 20, it says again, for I have no man like-minded who will, notice this, naturally care. Literally, he was genuinely concerned for their state. Every one of you is attending right now a local church. I hope that you are developing a love for those people. You have a local church at home. I hope you love those people. This is the lesson we can learn. Selflessness is shown in the context of the local church. The church of Philippi was a very important church to Paul, and it became a very important church to Timothy. They were the only church that ministered to Paul in a financial way by sending the gifts with Epaphroditus. They had a special affinity for Paul, and Paul had a special love and friendship with them, and it was passed on to Timothy. No one cared about the church like Timothy did, and Paul said, he's the one I'm going to send because he loves you. John 13, verse 33 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. This is the characteristic of selfless leadership. Selflessness in our lives is that we care and we love other people, and specifically we love brothers and sisters in Christ. Matthew 22, verse 39 says, love your neighbor as yourself. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase in love one toward another and toward all men. Is this your spirit? Is this the growth that is occurring not only with your local church, but with your brothers and sisters here at Maranatha as well, that you're generating a love and a concern and a kindness for others? One of my favorite songs that Chris Anderson has penned for us is a song that probably is rarely sung except in specific local churches, maybe a good one that we could sing here as well, but since we lift up and we really honor the local church here at Maranatha, it's a song entitled, I Love the Church. I love singing that song. The third stanza says this, I love the church, my family on the earth, sinners estranged, made one through second birth. In selfless love, Christ claimed us as his own, and that same love from each to each is shown. This is the spirit of Timothy. He loved the church. He was like-minded with his leader. He was loving to his church. And thirdly, he was loyal to the gospel. He was loyal to the gospel. Paul says it this way, he hath served with me in the gospel. We know that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. We know that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. But Paul adds this honor and commendation to Timothy by showing that Timothy's commitment was not only to his leader and not only to his church, but true selflessness is proved when you are committed to something higher and greater than the church and greater than the apostle. True selflessness is proved when you are loyal to Jesus Christ. He was loyal to the gospel. And by God's grace, we will be as well. Question, are you like-minded with the leaders that you are serving with? Are you evidencing a love and a concern for other people, and specifically others in your church, other brothers and sisters? Are you loyal to the service of the gospel? What a powerful lesson we learn from the life of Timothy. The third profile is obviously Epaphroditus. Number three, Epaphroditus, the trustworthy steward. And I'm calling him a steward because you know this in chapter 4, the only other occurrence of his name, it tells us that he was the one that brought the financial gift to Paul. So he was trusted by the Philippian church to carry the gift to Paul. Who knows? Maybe they thought he was going to go and to come back immediately. Or maybe they did know that he was going to stay and be a ministry to the Apostle Paul. What we know is he was a great blessing to the Philippian church and a trusted steward of the gift. But he also was a great blessing to the Apostle Paul. Interesting that his name comes from the Greek goddess Aphrodite, which literally means to love. His name means to love. It's lovely, charming, or amiable. That's the name Epaphroditus. And probably like Timothy, he was not a Jew. He was a Greek or a Gentile believer who came to Christ in the church. Perhaps his family had been worshipers of the goddess and were converted, and he already was bearing this name. It is a different name than the name that is mentioned in Colossians 1 and 4, the name Epaphras. This is a different person. This man exemplifies for us the spirit of sacrifice for the sake of the church and for the sake of the gospel. Notice the five terms that are mentioned here. We won't talk about these in great detail. First, the first three are these: my brother. You see this in verse 25. My brother, which shows us that he was a friendly, affectionate person. You know, I think this probably needs to be said. Some people just aren't friendly. You know what? You should be. Epaphroditus was friendly. He was a brother. He became a brother to Paul. There was a tight connection. There was a relationship there. There was an affection for each other. Secondly, he was a companion in labor. This is a term which refers to his hard work and his laboring together with the Apostle Paul. It's a term that Paul uses regularly in the New Testament to describe the people that joined with him in the laboring of the gospel. The first three of these terms have reference to the apostle. The last two have reference to the church. Thirdly, he was a fellow soldier. All of these give us some idea of how selfless he was. A fellow soldier, originally a military term to describe those who would fight side by side with each other. It obviously is speaking of his perseverance and his dedication to the gospel, and most likely he had persevered actually alongside of Paul in a lot of difficulties. One of the difficulties is expressed in this text. He was sick. Here he is with Paul in prison, and Epaphroditus, we don't know what kind of illness he had, but it brought him nigh unto death. And yet he persevered through that. He still brought the gift. He still was ministering to Paul. And it's interesting to note that his concern in this text was not about himself and about his own illness, but his great concern was the fact that other people were anxious about his illness. Have you ever been around somebody like that? And while they were suffering, their great concern was that you wouldn't concern about them, but that you would be at peace. I've been around many situations like that, and that shows the selflessness that we need. The last two terms are messenger and minister. Of course, a messenger is someone who's a delegate, someone who's representing Christ or bringing a message. It's literally the word apostle here, but he was not an apostle in the same sense that Paul was. The word apostle is also used to describe a general messenger of the truth, or sometimes a group of messengers, and Paul would use that term. The last term that is used here is the word minister. We get the word liturgy from this Greek word. It was used by the ancient Greeks, the minister, this word minister, as a public official who was passionate about the duties that they were to accomplish. All of these terms show us that Epaphroditus is a great example for us. Question, would anyone in your life describe you this way? You're a brother. You're a companion in labor. You're a fellow soldier. You're a messenger. You're a minister. Those are all great terms that I hope somebody would say about you. I hope somebody might say about me, because those are terms that describe the selflessness of this man, Epaphroditus. So what we're learning is that every Christian needs to be selfless, because selflessness is the mark of true leadership. It's not how many you dominate, it's how many you serve. It's not who you are over, but who are you serving by coming from the ground up. It's lowering yourself to be the kind of influence that you should be. And this should be being seen in our lives. It should be evidenced that we are selfless in our leadership. As I conclude today, I want to read for you from Disciplines of a Godly Man, and application is for men and women here today. Kent Hughes has a chapter in this great book called Disciplines of Ministry. And in this chapter, he kind of categorizes for us the two options that we have after hearing a message like this. Here's what he says. He says, for people who claim the name of Christ, there are two distinct courses of life available. One is to cultivate a small heart for people. This by far seems the safest way to go about our lives, because it minimizes the sorrows of life. If our ambition is to dodge the troubles of human existence, the formula is simple. Avoid entangling yourself in any relationships and do not give yourself to others. That's a really safe way to go. The second path, he says, is to cultivate a ministering heart. Open yourself to others, and you will become susceptible to an index of sorrows scarcely imaginable to the shriveled heart. No one has ever cultivated a ministering heart and lived to tell of a life of ease. So if you're looking for a life of ease, don't branch out. And here's how he concludes. He says, little hearts, though safe and unprotected, never contribute anything. No one benefits from their restricted sympathies and vision. And yet, on the other hand, hearts that have embraced the disciplines of ministry, selfless ministry for others, though they are very vulnerable, those are the hearts which possess the most joy, and they leave their imprint on the world. Shriveled heart, all about me. Open heart of ministry, all about others. And that's really the difference between a life of misery and a life of gospel-fueled joy. Selflessness. I think this is appropriate in this time in the semester when we could become so self-focused that literally we can go day after day and think about no one except ourselves. I encourage you today to follow this example because every Christian is a selfless, should be a selfless leader. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Lord, I pray this morning that you would convict our hearts, challenge us with these truths. Lord, I wonder if anybody were to write about me or write about a person in this room, would they be able to say some of the things that Paul said about Timothy, some of the things he said about Epaphroditus? Would they recognize the selfless ministry heart? Lord, it is in some ways vulnerable and dangerous to open up our lives to other people. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the amazing joy of serving. Selfless influence on the lives of other people. Lord, I believe across this auditorium there are some college students, there are some staff and faculty. You are working in our hearts today. Lord, you are convicting of selfishness and pride and a lack of reaching out. Whether they are the trusted servant or whether they're the trusted student or the trustworthy steward, Lord, whichever place, whichever level of influence that you have given to any of us, I pray that we would acknowledge today that there is one characteristic that we have to have: selflessness. We have to care about others more than we care about ourselves. Lord, change us. Grip our hearts with these powerful truths this morning. And thank you for speaking to us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.